Reading from the Vyaya Bhagavad Tamrita, Chapter 7, Text 148. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Udavena Smaryamanam Vijitam Satyabhamaya. Aniya bir mahishi vishcha ranjitam tattad ihaya. Uddhava suggested to Narada what was best to eat. Satyabhama fanned him, and the other queens pleased him with various kinds of service. Commentary. Uddhava went around commenting, "You haven't tried this. This other preparation is your favorite. Take some of this and some of that." Since the weather was quite hot, Krishna's beloved Satyabhama personally fanned the two lords and the exalted sage. The other queens, headed by Jambavati, busied themselves doing everything they could to make the meal a pleasure. They poured cool water from brimming pitchers, eloquently praised the food, fanned the bodies of Krishna, Balaram, and Narada from all sides, and kept the room fragrant by burning aguru and other incense. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur and Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Shindu Baye Bhaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Well, greetings from Visan Falls. I'm kind of had one of my first vacations this summer, and I'm just preparing for my Radharani lecture in Yogamaya on a week from Tuesday, and also I have a bhakti seminar for teacher trainers there. So, and I'm studying the Narada Bhakti Sutras, and just nice to have a peaceful spiritual life. And of course, there are visitors, not necessarily coming from me, but just people that are always around. Laura Priya and her family came visiting Kaylee, of course, wanting to see me also. Okay, so we're kind of towards the end here, the culmination of the first part of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and we'll either finish it today, more likely on next Sunday. Thank you all dearly who have been the regular listeners. I really pray that you get the fruit, the full shruti. Generally, a book has a full shruti, a fruit of hearing it. And the fruit of hearing the book is to get the essence, the feeling of the book, which is this love of Krishna, in the mood of the gopis, actually, the essence of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this Vrajavakti, this spontaneous love. And those who have been hearing, we've really been awakened to the intimate and sweet side of the divine, where God is himself and can give himself fully, without any inhibition that the devotee or worshiper will misunderstand the intimate side of the divine. So we've made our way all the way up to Dwarka, and the last thing that we studied or read is the benedictions that Narada Muni got. And Krishna blessed him because he invoked a remembrance of the residents of Vrindavan. There is no greater blessing than that. There's no greater blessing to remember God, and there's no greater blessing to remember God at the height of his happiness and revelation in relation to the residents of Vrindavan. Sweet, so sweet, Vrindavan. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. It's very, very sweet. Sweet place. The loving nature of the divine is manifest over his power. Anyway, Narada, although apparently disturbing Krishna, because it's so painful to remember the ones whom you love who are not with you, or who you can never be with, or you may never be with. But Narada, even though Krishna is happy because on this transcendental platform, in the material platform, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. The spiritual platform is blessed if you do, blessed if you don't. As long as you invoke remembrance of Krishna, whether it's apparently pain or whether it's apparently pleasure, it's blessed if you do, it's blessed. It's just blessed. Because that's life. Life is remembering Krishna. Life is filling our hearts with Krishna. Life is loving Krishna. And loving those things in relationship to Krishna. Especially the people and the places in relationship to Krishna. So Narada is blessed for being a devotee. And what is a devotee? A devotee is one who is absorbed in Krishna. That's why one of the names of Sri Radha is Krishnamayi, one who is filled with Krishna. And prema is when your heart is filled to Krishna to the maximum degree, that there's no room for anything else in your heart. That's prema bhakti. So Narada is filled with Krishna, and therefore he just glorifies Krishna, talks about Krishna, thinks about Krishna, and is really good association. And therefore he can give Krishna. Narada gave Krishna to Prahlad. Narada gave Krishna to Dhruva Maharaj. Narada is always giving Krishna. And he's blessed to do so. In fact, that was one of the benedictions he asked. That he can always give Krishna. So first, Narada asked for others. Because that's the locus standi, that is the perspective of a real Vaishnava. It's for others. Bhakti is not for oneself, bhakti is for others. And incidentally, it's for oneself. But bhakti is for others. Bhakti is for the pleasure of others. And that's the mood of a devotee. And that's the speciality of the path of devotion. It's love. So without any personal motive. Therefore, other paths have to be mixed with bhakti. Otherwise, they'll create ego. And the path of bhakti has to be mixed with bhakti. Otherwise, it'll create ego. If you're just doing things and it's not devotional, you're doing it for Krishna, but doing it for yourself without some real internal sense for Krishna, it could create false ego, create the things you want to remove. Of course, it's better to do bhakti even if there's motive, because the bhakti will still purify you. Otherwise, all you'll be doing is for yourself. But that's the nature of the bhakti process. It's for Krishna. And therefore, the very nature of the process frees you from self-centeredness and the egocentric nature, which is the root of the bondage in this world. So even when Narada gets a benediction, he goes, wow, yes, bless me. Not bless me, but please grant the boon that others who are devotees will never feel enough mercy, will never feel enough service, will never feel enough love. Their desire for Krishna will never be quenched on any level of their advancement. When they're struggling, let them never have enough mercy. When they're practicing, never let them have enough service. And when they're mature and perfect, never let them have enough love or praying. But then Krishna says, no, that's for others. I want to give you something. So he prayed, I want to wander and distribute these sweet names, this intimate side of God represented by his holy names, his sweet names, his sweet nature. I want to wander and distribute that. Grant me that. And grant me, if anyone comes in contact with these sweet names, he'll be plunged. They'll be plunged in bliss. So be it. Narada is granted that. And then he himself is plunged in bliss, dances, because when you have deep love in your heart, it can't just be contained internally. It has to be expressed in some action, some dancing, some singing, some talking about your beloved, enjoying. And then Krishna invited him, and the queens, the Mohini, they supervise, they cook, they serve. And Uddhava is here. We see the culture, Bhumte Bhojyate Chaiva, how you cultivate bhakti in the world by giving prasadam and taking prasadam. I thought one wonderful thing about the Krishna conscious culture, that sharing food is on such a deep, deep spiritual platform, because it's prasadam, the concept, the idea, the fact that food is actually sanctified and can benedict. I know when I'm here, I always take Krishna prasadam, but here it's offered to my deities and hopefully cook sattvic, and how it changes the consciousness. It's offered to my deities. It's cooked. to my deities. Mostly, I eat what I cook myself here. And it's so nice, actually. I'm staring at my deities. I have like a little Govardhan Kunj here now in my living room. So I'm sitting looking at the painting of Govardhan, and Giriraj is below. There's a, you know, there, I'm trying to remember who they are, but there's a lot of young girls here. Gorpriya has a daughter, another girl, and Mangal Artik is visiting Gorpriya, and she has her child, Manjulali. There's a three, four, and they come every day, because there's a lot of flowers on the property. They come every day with a vase of flowers for the deities. Every day. And then I sit and I do some kirtan with them. It's just beautiful vases of flowers, three, four, five, because every day they bring one. And then I feed them whatever I can. Amiya gave me a night when I was at the Bhakti Experience, a nice box of coconut water. Sometimes I take one of the things out and I pour them some cool coconut water or thing. But the beauty of bhakti based on devotion is amazing. It's a world of color, it's a world of taste. World of love expressed through the desire to please the senses of others. And I love, this has so many memories for me of the culture of Sodom. In a real culture, even as one person, someone else is serving. They don't want to take that element out of the facade that it's not the same when you make for yourself or you serve yourself. Unless you've actually served others first and then are just taking the remnants how they're enjoying. But that culture of serving added to the meal, the whole emotional experience of the exchange of love, the exchange of devotion. The whole experience. Is such a beautiful thing. And we see it. We see it exchanged here. I remember one time when I first came to Vrindavan, and that was the height of austerity. Somehow we can't even imagine the level of austerity. You know, it was just, it was only one electrical like station for all of Ramanrethi, so there was load sharing. There's no sweet water, a lot of things. It was difficult. And the service was from morning to evening, 12, 14 hours a day. And then we went out on Harinam, and I was just a new person. And I think it was Gopal Krishnamurti, someone asked me, there's a president named Hi Hi. And, you know, they were invited to this Gaudiya Math. It's at Imlital. It's not like it was now. And it's where Prabhupada's godbrother Bhakti Saranga Goswami, some of you know Nandanandana, that's his guru. And he was close with Prabhupada. He was a very powerful, powerful preacher. That was his little nut in Vrindavan. And I remember, you know, they invited us for prasadam, and you know, there's It was in the kind of a little bit in the summer, and it was such an incredible meal. But what I remember is the humility of a senior Vaishnava who was behind us, just so much wanting to fan us. That's the culture of love. That's when you've been satisfied. You're satisfied when the heart becomes filled with devotion. I remember Bhakti Siddhanta said, if you want to understand the Rasa Leela, you just have to be down to your bare necessities of life and give up your trivial opinions and so many other things. After the sage finished eating and washed his mouth, Lord Krishna worshipped him, anointing him with fragrant oils and adorning him with flower garlands and various ornaments, honoring, so much pleasure, honoring respected guests. So nice. I know when Raghunath comes every year with, you know, 15, 20 yoga students. And one of the first things they do is they come over my house. It's really wonderful. And I have some assistants, and we get a long pole, and we get beautiful garlands, and we get chandan paste. And everyone that comes in, we garland. And then we serve them. They cannot be experiencing the happiness we do. Narada then took leave of Madhava, Lord Krishna, and went to Prayag. Now let me bestow perfection on the sages who waited so long for me to return. So we remember this beautiful thing that we've started from the beginning. How wonderful. Slowly but surely, just see how just once a week, must have been a year, I don't know when I started this, but, you know, we are finishing. And he started at Prayag, went on his journey. Now he wanted to give this Krita Artayani. He wanted to give the Artayani, the Arta, the wealth, the perfection that he gave. And these sages are waiting for him to return. Narada is quite a substantial sage. Commentary: Krishna is called Madhava because he is the moon that arose from the ocean of the dynasty of King Madhu. Madhava is also the name of the deity of Krishna at Dashramedha Ghat. When Narada had seen the sages worshipping the Lord and bathing daily at the confluence of the Jamuna, the Ganga Saraswati during the month of Magh, that is a life wonderful experience that I remember bathing Kumbhamela at that confluence in the morning, in the winter. Really elevating in consciousness. Narada wanted to return to Prayag to share his realizations with those sages who, by taking shelter in Dasha, had obtained the shelter of Krishna. So he wanted to give them even something more. Swayam yad bhakti mahatmyam anubhutam vitastata sananandam vinayagayam siyayau bhakti lampata. Thus Narada started on his journey to Prayag intoxicated with eagerness for pure devotion. Wherever he passed, he vibrated his veena and blissfully sang the glories of the Krishna Bhakti he had seen with his own eyes. So Lampata Bhakti, this greedy person for devotion. Vinaya, Vayam, singing, Sa'anandam, blissful. Tata, tata, here and there moving. And he wanted to give Mahatyam, Anubhutam, when he experienced the glories personally, Swayam, a bhakti. te pitan mukatasarvam shutva tattan mahabhutam sarasangrahino shesham anyat sadyo juhurjidam. When the sages at Prayag heard the whole wonderful account of the month of mouth of Narada, they once and for all gave up all interest in everything other than Krishna's service, for they were able to grasp the essence of what is of value. So they didn't give up bhakti, they gave up karma and jnana. Whatever desire they had, whatever interest they had, personally, was given up in lieu of devotion. Whatever, again, the desire to merge with God or understand, because you want knowledge, real knowledge, and karma. Whatever traces of attachment to material work and knowledge still lingered in the hearts of the sages were at once cleansed away when they heard Narada's account of his travels. They were wise devotees, able to recognize the essential truth, what Narada told them. So this is basically what happens. A person has a frame of reference, a certain way he understands things or has experienced things as truth. And according to one's frame of reference, a saintly person can speak to one and increase that frame of reference. So these people are highly elevated, and through their understanding of truth and Krishna devotion, Narada added something more, which is Vraja Bhakti. And they were ecstatic. Kevalam paramam danyam avilam vyasa sikshaya Sriman mandana gopala charanabjam upasita. Entering a mood of great and single-minded humility, they began worshipping the lotus feet of Sriman Madan Gopal according to Narada's instruction. Kevalam paramam dainyam avalam. They developed dainyam. Dainyam is utter humility. Paramam, the highest or most complete. Kevalam, their mind was just focused on God and not themselves. And whenever there was a conception of the self, it was in relationship to God. So there's a great natural feeling of insignificance. Happy insignificance, because insignificance based on love. Not insignificance based on lust. I want more and I'm not getting it. I want to be great and I'm not. I want to be the controller and I'm not. But rather it is, God is great, I'm happy to be his servant. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. I don't want anything else. I only want God. It's a bhava. It's a mood. It's not a mental conception. It's an experience. It's a complete experience of the soul. And what you're experiencing, you're experiencing God. Frame is, you're seeing God everywhere. And you're not that God. There's a being that is everything. And our being is insignificant but has value is in that it's part of that being. It's a bhava. It's a move. Not an intellectual conception. You're experiencing it. It's a warmth that pervades one's body. And feelings may come out naturally when there's reflection on the self, reflection on one's past, reflection of one's activities, that I am wretched, I am fallen, I am insignificant. But that's within the concept of the mood of devotion that pervades one's consciousness. So these sages are feeling it, and that consciousness is part of prema bhakti. It's part of the whole thing is prema bhakti. And within that mood of prema bhakti is this dhānya. And without dhānya or the humility, it's not prema bhakti. Because without dhānya, to the extent that dhānya is there, is to the extent you're thinking of yourself. To the extent that disconnected from God. To the extent that dhānya is not there is to the extent that you're not thinking of God. Purport. It is an axiomatic principle of devotional service that until one rejects everything insubstantial, one cannot grasp the essence of reality. That is wonderful. Of devotional service that until one rejects everything insubstantial, one cannot grasp the essence of reality. The sages at Prayag, graced by Narada with ultimate enlightenment, now obtain the total humility dhānya requested for entrance into the mysteries of prema bhakti. By honestly thinking themselves unworthy of worship, the personality of God has lotus feet, they earn the priceless treasure of his favor. Matir gopa kishoram tam tvam chara sarasabudim tatrema mohitapi tri gopi bir abito britam amusham dasyamichanti tadrisha premna vangibi nityam vachashvatam nama sankirtana prayatarayana. Dear Mother, you as well should always worship this young cowherd boy. He is the ocean that yields the nectar of the rasa dance, in which divine gopis fully surround him, entranced by pure love. You should cherish the desire to be a servant of these gopis. You should constantly worship him in pure love as they did. And you should dedicate yourself to the Sankirtan of his names. Says it all. I'll read it again. Now, before I read it again, so it's going right back to what's this about. It's Uttara, Mother Parikshit, on the last day of his life, hearing upon her request a summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Maharaj Cricket just heard and realized from Sri Shukadev. So now, after he spoke the essence of the Bhagavatam, the creme de la creme, sara sara, cream of the cream, he's now telling her what to do. Knowledge entails action. according to what your understanding is how you act in the world. So this is the understanding. Mother, you as well should also worship this young cowherd boy. He is the ocean that yields the nectar of the rasa dance, in which divine gopis fully surround him, entranced by pure love. You should cherish the desire to be a servant of these gopis. You should constantly worship him in pure love as they did, and you should dedicate yourself to the Sankirtan of his names. Commentary. Having finished his story, Prikshit Maharaj is summing up the lessons his mother should learn from it. She ought to absorb herself fully in Krishna consciousness, which in all of its countless varieties derives from and reflects the most perfect love of the gopis who join Krishna in his rasa dance. So that's the culmination, that's the perfection. Why? The gopis are expansions of Radharani. So what is the rasa dance? It's the ultimate reality. And the ultimate reality is what? Mayachitad apasrayam. It's God exchanging with his own energies. And that exchange is an exchange of love. So, the varieties of Krishna consciousness reflect that. God in his original form is a young, playful cowherd, and in this form he enjoys his original pleasure. When the Supreme Lord appears in any other form, that appearance is secondary, manifest to satisfy particular devotees. So Swayam Bhagavan, that's the original form, and then other people relate in other ways. He manifests parts of himself. But his complete self, that's Krishna, a young cowherd boy. After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, Prikshit understood this transcendental fact. And to make his mother also understand that he has recounted this first part of Srimad Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Perhaps Mother Uttara, the widow of Krishna's nephew, might feel uncomfortable assuming the mood of gopis, at least in public. Therefore, Prikshit advised her more aptly to strive to become a servant of the gopis. So that's our mood. Our mood is not to be with Krishna, but to serve those who are. As Prikshit here points out, the principal method to becoming a servant of the gopis of Vrindavan is Krishna Nam Sankirtan, immersing oneself in hearing and chanting the names of the divine cowherd boys of Vraja, especially the name of Krishna. This is the best means to practice worshiping him in pure love, and it is the symptom of one who has achieved the treasure of prema. We only have 4 or 5 more verses. But I'll stop now today. Are there any questions? Would anybody please like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
Hi, Bob. This is Mother Indrani.
Mother Indrani?
Can you hear me? Yes.
I can. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I've got to write you a letter. This class has taken me somewhere. I'm not quite sure. I need answers. I may write you. Oof. Thank you for the class.
You are Rasika, Mother Indrani. You are Rasika. Thank you. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hanan and Surit.
Who is this?
Hanan and Surit from Gainsborough.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening.
We wanted to share with you something, Maharaj. We just finished doing Bhakti Shastri in New Vrindavan, and we really appreciate your book, The Waves of Devotion. It really helped us to get clear and understand points that otherwise we would never get them. So thank you so much for that book, Maharaj.
Oh, wow. How long did you spend in New Vrindavan?
It was the second part, and we stayed there for 6 weeks. We did the first part in 2007. We did the Bhagavad Gita, and this time we did the other books.
Okay. Who were the teachers?
Mother Nanda and Mother Lakshmi Muni and Bhakti Charu Maharaj.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. How many devotees were able to take it?
We started with, 15, 16 people, and we ended up in a small group, 6 or 8 people.
Okay, well, that sounds really wonderful. Great.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna. This is Donova and Hillary.
Hi, thank you for listening. Wow, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I guess I'll see Hillary soon. I hope the film project is progressing, moving forward.
Yes, very nicely. Thank you.
Okay, there should be some website and Tripla up soon too, right?
Yeah, definitely. We're just getting it up now.
How long? Will it take?
Well, the trailer, so we can send you that. And the website, probably in a week, it will be up.
Okay. Let's move it along. That's great. That's great. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Kumar.
Kumar, thank you. You're down in Dallas,
thank
right?
You.
Hey, are
yes,
you in
Maharaj.
Dallas?
Because yes, Maharaj.
There's someone there. There's someone in Dallas, Deva Frusta, who wrote me and wants to send me a ticket. So I think next year I'll come to Dallas. You know?
Okay, Maharaj.
I don't.
Please let me
have. Okay, thank
I'll
you.
Come
anybody
you,
else?
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Gautam Bhaktadas.
Okay, I guess I'll see you and your wife on the 13th, right? At Gopti Shores, we'll have a... Anybody's in town, we're having a Julan festival. I'm going to do it with Lakshmi, and a lot of families and children are coming. Okay. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
I had so much trouble trying to unmute my phone. I was going to ask you to repeat, that statement that you made about, if we're not able to appreciate something insignificant or something, then how could we ever experience prema or love? Do you remember that?
Well, I'm trying to understand this because dānya, utter humility, and prema, Sanatana Goswami and Brihad Bhagavatamrita equates them. So there can't be love of Godhead without dānya. Well, one thing, without humility, one can't experience love. Because you don't appreciate anything. There's no appreciation. Even if you get something good, if one has a sense of entitlement, I've seen this. I've seen people. People help them, give them so much, but they don't they think they deserve. So they never get a sense of love from this. I've spoken this many, many times. That's the essence of the verse, Trinada Pisa Nichena, Purora Pisa Ishnina, Manina, Madanina. Why humility is necessary for chanting the holy name. Without humility, there's no love. Without love, everything is boring. Work means you have an objective that the activity itself is no fun. You have an objective. The activity, that's why bhakti is susukam kartam abhyam. Ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, bhakti is pleasurable. And why is bhakti pleasurable? Because it's love.
Mm-hmm.
Other processes have an objective or a goal. And bhakti is, you have a goal, but not for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your goal is to please Krishna and to become a lover of Krishna. But that's also not for oneself. So without that sense of humility, one never can develop relationship. This relationship is service. It's all about oneself. So at the highest level of love, I guess there's the highest sense of complete and exclusive humility. So unless one has that feeling, he's not going to contact prema. Because he'll have a sense, I'm full. He'll have a sense, you know, I have something. He won't get it.
Yeah, in the conditioned state, I wonder how realistic it is or practical or something to be able to try to even love Krishna without it being for yourself, at least.
Being what?
For yourself. You know, I mean, at a certain
stage. It's mixed, obviously. It's mixed. You have a good objective. Right. Yeah, I agree with you. There will definitely be a sense for oneself. But for the first time in one's life, there may be some mixture of something else in it. Because to actually dedicate oneself, you know, yeah, it is for oneself, but one's not getting for oneself. What's getting is love. In other words, not on the material platform. It's not dhanam, it's not wealth, it's janam, it's not followers. Kavitam, vajra, gadishaka, it's not liberate, it's not any of these things. It's kind of like the mother, right, is trying to please the child, right? And she has a child and she tries to please the child. She gets something out of it, but her objective is the thing she wants. She wants to be a mother more than anything else in the world. Just look at that analogy. The mother wants to be a mother more than anything else in the world. But if she's a good mother, right, what she wants is the pleasure of her children. What she wants is to legitimately give herself. She doesn't want anything for herself. So I guess it's a sense that there's something for oneself because it's based on desire. So if you consider that desire is always for oneself, but desire can be for others. But then it's also for oneself. This is what you want. But it's different from kind of a selfish want. It's the only desire that's really not selfish, love. It's to somebody else.
And the desire to have pure love, the desire to have, you know, deep affection for Krishna. The pure devotees,
yeah,
I say.
They want deep affection.
No, yeah, but the. Even for the pure devotees, even that desire for deep affection for Krishna, even that is not for themselves.
No, prema has, what is it, three desires. I think the first two, what is it? You want to be with Krishna and you want to serve Krishna, right?
But being with Krishna is only to serve Krishna. So it's all about service. You want to serve Krishna. You want to be with Krishna. It's an intense desire. You want to be with him because out of love. You want to be able to please them. You want to be able to, you know, think of someone you love, really. You want to feed them. You want to take care of them. You want to, but the main thing is the service. So it's their pleasure. And we have the examples is that when one's pleasure interferes with service, he's not happy. With ecstasy. So what I would say is we're sentient. We have desire. But there is a desire where the focus is not your own senses, but the and your own pleasure. It's the pleasure of someone else. So in that sense, it's for me, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what it is. Now, you say when you begin this process of prema bhakti, you know, when you begin the process, you know, it begins with some faith in that. That to serve God is good, to give oneself to God is good. And you have to have some faith, some experience, some attraction. But obviously, it's just a budding seed. And it's mixed with, obviously, you know, things that we want for ourselves, I guess. And even we want that, in one sense, for ourselves. You know, people want their personal ecstasies. But as one matures, and that seed of bhakti matures, then it's growing in the sense of, I just want God to be pleased. And when the world moves against my will, it's okay, it's God's will. And if I die, that's okay too. Because it's God's will. And therefore you stop getting into this kind of existential dilemma if you know, why do bad things happen to good people type of things in your life? You know, if God really loves me, why doesn't he give me everything I want? And why is he doing this to me? You're just happy. You're not happy what's happening to you, maybe. Maybe you're suffering, but you're happy. You're happy with God and God's will. So it's something that matures in us. But there also may, to an extent, our psychology may be mixed in it. You know, we're disappointed in certain relationships and you know, we see this, you know, what we want in God, and, you know, it's kind of mixed with that kind of thing. But there is that shraddha. There is that faith. There is that faith in Krishna and serving Krishna. I'm thinking when I first became a devotee, right, obviously, it was so mixed with me. You know, I can get happiness, I can get pleasure, I can get this, I can get that. But there was a seed of sacrifice and a desire for that.
Okay, Maharaj, thank you very much.
Try and Gail.
Yeah, no, that was nice.
Drops of water wear away the stone.
Hopefully.
I'm not just talking about you, Gail. I'm thinking of my own life, of the endless layers that I'm peeling, that are external to the soul. And I think I've done so much work, and then I find another layer, another layer, another layer. But gradually, 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 the light of the soul shines through.
Hmm.
I can see that with you. Anybody else have any questions or like to say hello? I'll just, you know, reveal something. You know, this is the, you know, I felt really good today because a lot of times, you know, the Sangha is like Saturday, you know, Sunday morning. So Saturday night I'm preaching, I'm getting back at 1 o'clock, kind of, you know, waking up and no, I don't wake up this late, but, you know, my whole schedule is late. You know, I'm up here. I'm up at 1:30. You know, I've already written and, you know, sat for a couple of hours and chanted. I've done kirtan and for my deity. I did deity worship. I cleaned my house. And then, you know, you sit down beforehand. I've actually, in the morning, studying the verses and looking at them. I have a comfortable place to sit. And the phone is charged. So, you know, maybe I should just sit in one place and just give phone class. Okay. Thank you all. See you next week. We'll finish this next week, and then maybe we'll do volume 2. Panchakalpa Thurubhya Shakapa Sindhu Vedeva Chapati Tanam Bhavani Vyurajani.
Aishnavi Anamo Namaha.